I want to minister a message about the times. I think, again, we need to, you know, the Lord usually deals with me in certain areas, like I've been since the first of the year on the basics of Christianity, really. And the reason that I think everybody should go back to the basics is because it's really, really important in anything you do to remember the basics. In rodeo, when someone is in like a slump in the riding events, a bull rider or a bronc rider, bareback, you always want to go back to the basics of some things to correct maybe some bad habits that we get into. I teach, or I have taught, I don't have a lot of time anymore, a lot of roping. My dad taught a lot of people how to rope. And if you don't learn the very basics of even how to hold a rope, you have two strands and one goes on top of the other. And then you got to learn how to feed a smaller loop into a bigger loop. You have to learn how to swing a rope over your head so that the rope doesn't figure eight over itself and that it stays open so that when you deliver, we call that follow through, right? When you follow through to your target, then it goes where you're throwing. And these are basic things. Well, in Christianity, there's also basic things. And I've been on that for a long time. Well, this morning, in learning the basics, then we got to start thinking about signs of the times. When is Jesus going to come back to get us? Have you ever thought about it? You know, I'm sure at this church you have, as we've talked about it. When the Bible says that there's going to be a day when the clouds separate, Jesus appears, the dead in Christ rise, and then all of us that the Bible calls the elect. You're the elect if Jesus is Lord. If Jesus is not Lord, you are not the elect. But the Bible says the elect, the people that have believe in Jesus, Jesus is your Lord, you've confessed Him with your mouth that He's Lord, believed in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you're saved people. You're born again people. You're born once of the flesh and then once of the Spirit. And that's the Spirit part is what I'm talking about. And when you are born again, then you reside in a different kingdom. Jesus is your Lord. And you're the elect people. So the Bible says when Jesus appears, after the sound of the trumpet from the archangel, Jesus will call the dead. Not that, because the Bible says your spirit's already with the Lord, but you're going to get an incorruptible body that can't get sick. And He's going to call the dead up, and then all of us are going to meet Jesus in the air. Okay? And a lot of times we don't talk about this kind of stuff because we're focused on winning a world championship. We're focused on getting married. We're focused on going to school. We're focused on all of our own things in life. But Matthew declares that we should seek first the kingdom. Well, if you're born again, then you're in the kingdom of God, you see. And when you seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, which is us living right, that's what righteousness means, doing what's right. And when we do that, then we follow the Word. We live by God's ways of doing things. That's the kingdom. And the only way to do that is you got to learn the basics. And you got to come to church so that you can learn how to live as a Christian according to God's Word. Say amen to this, y'all. We just don't show up just to feel good. We show up because we want to learn how to better live in the world but not of it. And we live in the world as a Christian, temporarily, by the way, serving God, having a relationship with Him. In the meantime, we get to enjoy life here on earth. We seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all the other things will be added unto us, like having a new pickup. But see, the new pickup can't become before God, you know. Okay, so let's begin reading and see how quick we can be. Verse 5, chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians, and verse 1. Are y'all there? Say amen. Amen. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, now look at me. That means that the Apostle Paul, talking to this church, which he's now talking to you and I, means that these are believers. He's talking to all of us, brethren. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, okay? So keep that in mind, that he's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to all of us believers. And he says, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. He's trying to say that you are to know all this stuff. If you've been coming to church long enough or serving your Lord, you should know this. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say, underline that word they, because it's not talking about you. You got to understand that. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, then it starts talking about us, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. So he corrects that, right? He's starting off saying, hey, there's going to be a day when the Lord comes back as a thief in the night. And if you don't keep reading, then we're all like, yeah, because that's because no one knows the day or the hour when the Lord will return. And that's true. But you should know the times. You should know and have discernment of when Jesus could return in that season. Now, don't get me wrong, because they've been talking about for years, 100 years or more. I mean, I remember it in the 70s. Them saying, you know, the Lord could come back today. Well, you have to understand, though, in the Word, the Bible says that one day is as 1,000 days to the Lord, as 1,000 days is as one day. I mean, so in God's time, 100 years is nothing. I mean, but we should still be discerning the times. And you can just look around, in my opinion, and see that we're getting pretty close when Jesus could return. Matter of fact, if you study prophecy, you'll start seeing prophetically a lot of things are coming to pass right in front of our eyes about Israel. I mean, think about it. The Bible says if you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. So don't ever curse Israel. There's people that are rioting against Israel, the Jewish people. That is not smart. Mm-mm. That is not good. We should be praying for them because they're God's chosen. They're God's chosen, y'all. And the United States will be blessed if we continue to bless Israel. And thank God we have a president now that's done a lot for that country. And boy, we need to keep doing it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, so when it says in verse 4, but you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness, because we understand what happens in darkness, right? Because when no one can see That's when a thief tries to attack. He wants to do it when you're not prepared, when you're not ready, you see. Therefore, verse 6, let us not sleep. Now, it's not talking about rest, because we need rest. It helps us survive. Amen. But what it's talking about, it actually explains. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. And when you're sober, you're ready. You're attentive. You're seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You're seeing what's going on around you. And when the attack comes, then you know what to do as a believer when you are in the day. When you are in the darkness and you're doing things wrong, then you're not going to be prepared for the attack of the enemy. And we all go through the trials and tribulations, but as we always say here, we go through them. We don't build the tent in the middle of a trial and tribulation, because if you do, you're going to stay in it for a long period of time, where your God has given you the keys to the kingdom to get out of a trial and tribulation, or get through them. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't fear any evil. We just got to get through some things. Well, when you get the basics of the Word of God, and you know who you are in Christ Jesus, then when there's an attack on your body, your physical body, when there's an attack on your finances, when there's an attack on your marriage, when there's an attack on your relationship, then you're going to be able to know what to do, and you're going to then, as we've already said a few times today, you're going to speak to that mountain. And with authority in Jesus' name, you're going to say, to the mountain be thou removed. Whatever the mountain is, if it's an attack on a marriage, then you're going to say no. You're not going to destroy my marriage, because my marriage is healthy and I'm going to submit one to another. Yeah, I'm not talking about control, where a husband is in control of the wife or the man is in control of the woman. No. You're submitting together. God made us different for a reason. There's a reason why my wife cooks me chicken fried steak. And it's good, Mama. It is good. But what if she don't? You think I'm going to be upset? Well, a little bit. But you think I'm going to stay upset? No. Now, I know that there's people that's been through divorced. And you need to understand that in Christ Jesus, therefore, there's no guilt or condemnation. But I'm telling you, the devil will try to bring guilt and condemnation because you made a mistake, or it didn't last, or whatever. No, get over all that, because we live under grace. That's foundation, mercy, forgiveness. Hallelujah. But after all that, then we got to grow. And we got to grow and know that we're not going to stay bitter in this one area, whatever it might be. So that's why we speak to the mountain. And people in darkness cannot do that, you see. So man, we got to grow up, y'all. We got to grow. That's what we tell our kids. Hey, Seth, you are 18 years old. You're 18. It's time you start doing a few things around this house. All right. Now, let's move on just a little bit. Okay? Therefore, let us not sleep, verse 6, as others do, but let us watch. We're watching the times. We're watching the seasons. This is the season that it rains, right? I mean, we've been getting some good old rains. If you live to the south and the north of me, it's been raining a lot. And it's just kind of been going around us a little bit. We've been getting spitter spatter in Oatmeal, Texas. But we know this is the season, right? We know. Now, me and my wife went outside and at our back porch, and we did declare for tornadoes not to come near us. I don't even pray this way, y'all. I don't pray for a tornado to go around because it's going to hit somebody else. We need to pray for that tornado to go back up. Jesus' name. Take authority over that. Hallelujah. Speak. All right, now look. For those who sleep, verse 7, they sleep at night. And those who get drunk, they get drunk at night, right? Yeah, and that's usually what happens. You're really bad off if it's during the day. I mean, because we always go, they had a beer at 8 o'clock in the morning. You know, everybody has seen that. Or we might have been those people at one time. Verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Man, that's what I want to major on this morning, that we have hope this morning. Because if you don't have hope, you're in trouble. You're going to have to deal with things, and you're not going to cause the cares of the world to go upon the Lord. If you don't feel like you've got hope in this world, forgiveness, grace, mercy, all the principles and benefits of a believer, you're in a troubled way, because you're going to have to do a lot of things in the world. And God's saying, no, you just live in the world, but don't you dare be of it. But you just got to be sober. I'm not talking about being in sin because you have a beer. I choose not to do that stuff. I don't look down on anybody. But when it goes overboard, then you got a lot of trouble. And we got to get you delivered. But this is really talking about being sober of mind in the way of watching. Uh-oh, there's an attack of the devil. Let's come against that attack in Jesus' name. That's why I want to try to teach you guys that it's very important to not say my diabetes, my blood issues, my cancer, because it's not yours. Now, it can be. If you want it to be yours, then you're going to have to deal with it. But if you cast it over on the Lord, then praise God, that's when someone's healed by the stripes of Jesus and no disease come near your body. Come on. You may do it again. Come on. Because when you clap or when you say amen or that's right, brother, that's just being in agreement. And we've got to start getting excited because, man, we'll get at that football game or we'll be watching the race, the Kentucky Derby yesterday. And I mean, with those ladies in those crazy looking hats. But that's it. I love it. I love looking at all of them. But man, they are excited. Oh, come on. Come on, Lone Ranger. Come on. Hurry. And I mean, they're getting, I've got $100 on that horse. Hurry. They don't go, hurry, horsey. No, they get excited. You get excited over that football team. When Dallas finally scores, it's an amazing thing, brother. You get excited. Well, that's how you got to get with the Lord. Oh, Father, thank you that by the stripes of the Lord Jesus, I'm healed. And even though the doctor said the report is negative for you in your healthy, in your body, you start saying what I just tried to say. No, doctor. My body's healthy in Jesus' name, and by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Man, you start getting excited about that. There ain't no devil going to keep me down. You got too much welding to do. But boy, then that devil does, doesn't he? He tries to get your old relationship. He needs to start saying, I love you more. You know, it's a young relationship, right? John, don't ever build me up. He's all about fishing. I mean hunting. She corrected me real fast. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Okay, let's go to one scripture and I'll close then, because I want to do a lot of stuff. I want people to join. I want everybody to turn to Psalms 91. Everybody. And I want to read Psalms 91 because this is an important thing about the times, the seasons. And this is what you stand on, praise God. Psalms 91. And I want everybody to turn there or look on someone's tablet or phone if they've got big wording, or on someone's Bible, or you're just going to have to trust what I say here. I'm going to try to read exactly what it says. And I preach out of the King James and an Amplified, but a great friend of mine gave me this study Bible. And it's the New King James, and I'm okay with that. But look at what it says, verse 1. He who dwells... Now, everybody look at me real fast. Who is he? Us, okay? He, if you want to say she, that's fine. Who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall, I like that word, say shall. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. All right, so think about that. I mean, get that picture in your mind. He that dwells in God's secret place, under His protection, in other words, shall abide under the shadow. I mean, now you remember when people walked in his shadow and they were healed, you see. I mean, there's something about being in the shadow of Jesus. Whew. Just being in His presence, you know. Okay. So you're under the shadow of the Almighty, which is God. I. So you got to say something. You can't think it. There's something about saying, Father, I confess that You're my Lord. Okay, I shall say of the Lord, He's my refuge. Let's say it. He is my refuge. Say this, and my fortress, my God, say it, in Him I will trust. So you've got to say these things. That's why it's important to confess. That's why Romans 10:9 says, confess Jesus as Lord. And then believe that God raised Him from the dead and you'll be saved. So there's something about the confession. Hallelujah. All right. Surely, verse 3, He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. Woo-hoo! See, we try to get out here all on our own, instead of having humility and being under God. I'll show you someone that has issues with authority. If you have issues with authority, like you can't do what your boss says, and you just don't like that authority, he just don't talk nice to me. No, you got to get mature. And even though they don't talk nice, he's in submission because he pays you, right? Well, I mean, yeah, you have the right to leave, but man, if you just sometimes just grow up and understand that he's just different or she's different, you know what I mean? Then I'm telling you, you'll be blessed. Ooh, Jesus. But there's something about trusting in the Lord. Father, I just trust, no matter how they're treating me, I'm going to trust in You. Okay, that's what this is talking about. In my God, in Him, I will trust, because He's your refuge, He's your fortress. Amen. Surely He'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the perilous pestilence. He'll cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you'll take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night. What does that mean? Well, we don't have the spirit of fear. God didn't give us the spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. You see, if you keep reading Psalms 91, it'll change your life. Because that's how you start seeing the signs of the times. And if they're bad and the enemy's attacking, you'll recognize it. You'll know how to come against it. All you got, you know what I do when the enemy's attacking me? All I do is say, Jesus. Jesus, I'm liable to do it in bed. And on the first one or two or three times that I say Jesus, I might not feel anything. Because I'm not moved by my feelings anyway, right? But every time, Jesus. 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 Woo, right there. That's why I love that song, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, there is something about that name. 'Cause He's my Master, Savior, Jesus. Like a fragrance after the rain. The rain. Sing it again. Jesus, when you say it. Jesus, oh Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim. Proclaim. Here's what you proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away. 'Cause there's something about that name. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That's how we are to live. And there's lots of times when I'll be in my bed. No one knows it. Not even the dogs on Jamie's side. London came and got him last night, by the way. I'll say, Jesus. Jesus. I might be in the shower. Jesus. And I'll slow down. Jesus. Whew. And then I'll feel His breath. I mean, it just comes from the top of my head, that tingling, those chills. Jesus. Man, if you spend enough time with Him, you'll get those little goosebumps. That's the anointing, man. That's the presence of the Lord. Amen. I mean, some of you got them right now. That's Jesus, y'all. That's how we are to live. There's seasons, so let's live in them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You have a good time this morning? Everybody in here, bow your head and pray this prayer. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Forgive me of every sin. This day is my God day because Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, just real fast, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, you were born again. I'm not going to ever judge your salvation. I don't believe in that. Because you're going to have to learn how to live by God's ways. And that's the Bible. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your heart to Jesus, I want you to know you're now my brother or sister in Christ. Matter of fact, the Bible says angels are rejoicing in heaven. But here's what I want to do. If you just gave your heart to Jesus and you prayed that prayer and you meant it, I want you to be bold enough right now when I count to three to raise your hand up. And all you're doing by raising your hand up is you're confessing Jesus before men. And Jesus said, if you'll do that, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. In other words, don't you be ashamed that Jesus is the Lord of your life. If you just prayed the prayer we just all prayed, and you meant it, I'm not talking to people who are already saved. I'm talking to people who just prayed it and they gave their life to Jesus this morning. Matter of fact, if you died, you wouldn't know where you would go, heaven or hell. But because of Jesus and you just giving your life to Him, you confessing it out of your mouth, I'm telling you, you're going to bust heaven wide open. If that's you and you gave your heart to Jesus this morning, or if you're watching and you gave your heart to Jesus, I want you to tell us. But if you're here in this sanctuary, I want you, when I count to three, to raise your hand up and say, God, I gave my heart to Jesus. And then just put your hand right back down. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to have you come to the front. But I want you to be bold. If you gave your heart to Jesus and you prayed that prayer for the first time and you meant it, get that hand up when I say three. One, with boldness. Two, three, go. All right, look at me. There wasn't one hand that was raised. That means everybody in here is born again. And if you're not and you just didn't pray the prayer, you need to. I can't make you though. There ain't no preacher can make you. God says we set before you life and death, and you're going to have to choose life. And the only way to choose life is to receive Jesus. We celebrate Christmas and Easter, the birth and the resurrection of Jesus. But it's going to be up to you to receive Him. But I believe all of you are. Amen? All right. Man, I had a good time this morning. Thank you, Lord. I did. I love the Lord. Love God.